Chapter 5. Last Day Tokens. In answer to the question, "What shall be the sign of thy coming?" our Savior replies by saying, "Fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven." Luke chapter 21, verse 11. From this reply, the conclusion would naturally be drawn that as the proclamation of the Lord's near coming was given, signs and wonders in the heavens would be multiplied. That such has been the case will be clearly shown in the many wonderful and unexplainable sights that have appeared in the heavens from time to time, as related by the individuals themselves who observed them. From a work entitled The End Comes, written by Leonhard Heinrich Kelber and published in Stuttgart, Germany, in the year 1835, we quote as follows. In 1811, on March 20, in some parts of Silesia, there were three suns visible at the same time. In 1814, April 14, in several parts of Russia, for a whole day the real sun was covered with a cloud. On either side of the cloud appeared a clear sun. Under the clouded sun was a clear white cross. Under the cross, a serpent. Under the serpent, a sickle. On the opposite side of the heavens was the moon. At the same time, in Bavaria, there appeared a clear white cross in the sky, which was visible for 3 days. In 1826, December 14, in Stuttgart, Germany, from 9:30 a.m. till noon, two extra suns were visible, one on either side of the real sun. These extra suns had tails shooting out from them, opposite the true sun, like comets' tails. Berlin, Wonder of 1829. In 1829, December 26, the Berlin journals state that on the morning of December 23, about 45 minutes before sunrise, there appeared in the east three tall, perpendicular purple columns. The sun arose under the middle column, when it glowed like burning coals of fire. Then the other two columns displayed brightly, for some time, all the colors of the rainbow. Coming down to the years 1843 and 1844, when the doctrine of the Lord's coming was proclaimed with great power to the world, signs in the heavens seemed very abundant. Fiery serpent in the sky. On the next page is given an illustration of a wonder seen by the pilot of the steamer William Penn on the Ohio River on the night of March 21, 1843. An account of it was published in the Cincinnati Sun of March 27, 1843, and reads as follows. On Saturday afternoon, Mr. William Francis, pilot of the William Penn steamboat, a packet that runs between this city and Rising Sun, Indiana, called personally at our office to give us the full particulars of the wonderful sight seen by him on the night above mentioned. Fully impressed with the solemnity of the subject, and the awful responsibility of telling anything of this nature but what is strictly true. Mr. Francis informed us that he is a member of the church and assured us in the most solemn manner that what he was about to relate was truth and nothing but the truth, and that he is ready to convince any gentleman or lady that will call upon him. He states that as the Penn was on her trip to this city, when between Rising Sun and Aurora, about 11 or 12 p.m., he was steering the boat along, it being a star-bright night, excepting a few clouds in the west, low down, sky clear, when of a sudden a light burst forth, the whole face of the earth appearing to be lighted up, which so blinded him that it was with difficulty he could see anything, even the most near object. His first impression was that it lightened sharply, but its continuing convinced him that it must be something else, which he could not account for. The captain of the Penn, James Pratsman, was sitting in the cabin at the time with three or four candles. He saw the light notwithstanding, ran out on the guard, anxious to know the cause, and asked Mr. Francis if he saw the light. He said he did. "What is it?" said Captain P. "Dear only knows," answered Mr. F., "for I don't." From that, the captain disappeared from looking over the hurricane deck and went below. Mr. Francis, now being anxious to discover whence this bright light came, looked diligently out of the sight of the pilot house, in rather a southwest course, but nearly overhead, when he saw the outlines of a serpent in the sky, in a crooked position except the tail, which was straight, and the head toward the east. It turned to a lively bright red, deep and awful, and remained stationary among the stars. Mr. Francis watched it for 2 or 3 minutes, when the part disappeared nearly to the middle, and the remainder in a gradual manner formed into a distinct Roman G. Mr. F. had time now to mind the channel of the river and deliberate upon the grandeur of the letter in the sky. It was remarkably interesting to him, as may be well supposed, from the accuracy of its formation, and in about 1.5 minutes he watched it and the boat alternately, when it changed, turning into a distinct letter O, as perfect as was ever seen, in which position it remained as before. Mr. F. stated that he was surprised greatly at this, but not scared or frightened in the least, and immediately tapped the bell for the captain to witness the scene. The captain did not come immediately, but after a moment or two appeared, but ere this figure in the heavens had changed to a plain, distinct letter D. The captain said to Mr. F., "What's wanting?" "Come here, quick," said Mr. F., "and look up yonder. Did you ever see the like?" The captain answered, "I see it," and looked at it till it disappeared. Mr. F. states that when the O turned to a D, it formed a kind of oblong shape, and then came straight on one side, as a D should be. When it disappeared, it turned into the same oblong shape as before, and gradually the sky returned to its original appearance. Mr. F. states that he did not leave the wheel of the boat, but steered it straight to this city. He declares that let others think or say what they will, what he has related is strictly true. He is no Millerite, neither is he crazy or frightened, and if gentlemen or ladies will call upon him, he will convince them that what he has told is true. A sword and a crown. A letter from John Morrison of Glasgow, Lower Canada, dated May 27, 1843, reads, "A family near this place saw in the heavens, on the evening of Friday, May 19, a great sword exceeding bright." He quotes the statement of another person near the same place who said, "On Monday last, May 21, 1843, in the afternoon as I was coming from the post office, being alone, and it being a cloudy afternoon, I saw a spot of clear sky in the west, and in that the appearance of a splendid crown, highly ornamented, as clear and bright as ever I saw in a picture. I kept my eye upon it, and hastened home to show it to my family. But I saw it was changing, and it became quite round. It was as red as blood, and much larger than the moon. A black line came across the center, and after a few moments it disappeared." Sign in the Sun in New England. The cut presented on page 73 represents a scene connected with the sun, a scene in Norwich, England, in the month of December 1843. The drawing and explanation as here given were furnished to the editor of The Midnight Cry in a letter from E. Lloyd, 21 Parker's Terrace, Nicaragua Road, Bermondsey, London, dated January 3, 1843. He says, "This sight was seen in the heavens, just as Brethren Winter, Burgess, and Rutan were about to commence their Advent lectures in that city, and so prepared the people to listen to truth, that they met with great success in their mission there. Brother Winter died a few months ago, over 90 years of age. In his obituary, a reference was made to those meetings in Norwich, England, in 1843, and it was stated that Brother Winter himself, as the result of that effort, baptized 700 in one lake near Norwich. In describing the wonderful phenomenon, Mr. Lloyd says, there has been a remarkable sight in the sun, seen by the principal part of the citizens of Norwich and the surrounding county, such as has never been seen in England before. It was seen in December last, about 12 o'clock noon, and continued for 2 hours. It very much alarmed the inhabitants. The small inner circle represents the sun, of a light orange hue. The outer part of the two larger circles, at unequal distances from the sun, appeared of the same hue, but the inner part of those circles was of a very deep yellow. The sky within those circles appeared of a dusky brown color, and the three large circles passing through the sun appeared of a distinct bright light. Sign in the Sun in America, 1844. The following description of a sight which appeared in connection with the sun in New Haven, Connecticut, September 9, 1844, was published in the Hartford Courant of September 12, 1844. The rings around the sun on Monday, September 9, 1844, for 2 hours before and after midday, appear to have been generally observed by our citizens with much interest, and have awakened an intelligent curiosity to learn more respecting appearances of the same kind and their character. The present halo was remarkable for its duration, and afforded favorable opportunities for observation. About midday, it consisted of two complete rings, one about 45 degrees in breadth, encircling the sun at its center, and the other about 72 degrees broad, having its center in the zenith, while its circumference passed through the sun. The smaller circle was accompanied by an ellipse of the major axis and of small eccentricity, directly opposite the sun and 36 degrees north of the zenith. The larger circle was intersected by two other circles of nearly or quite the same diameter, forming at the point of intersection a bright spot, such as would naturally result from the combined light of three luminous rings. The ring that encircled the sun exhibited the colors of the rainbow, frequently with much vividness and beauty. The other rings were white and fainter, as they were more distant from the sun. Small portions of circles, however, with prismatic or rainbow hues, appeared at different times, both in the east and west. Such conformity of structure must depend on some law which regulates the formation of halos, but the nature of the law is not fully developed. Not much difficulty has been experienced in accounting for the production of the ring that encircles the sun, since the cause is somewhat similar to that which produces the rainbow. But to explain the origin of the ring, which has its circumference in the sun's center, has been found more difficult. God's power produces the wonders. To him that acknowledges that all things are upheld by the word of God's power, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and that by him all things consist, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, there is no difficulty in accounting for these remarkable appearances in the heavens. Such a one recognizes the fact that fire and hail and snow and vapors, stormy wind, are fulfilling his word, Psalm chapter 148, verse 8. Of the rainbow God said, I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will look upon it, Genesis chapter 9, verses 13 to 16. God's power produces the beautiful bow, with its varied colors, and while we look upon it, our minds are solemnized with the thought that God too is looking at it. As the storm and vapors fulfill his word, it is of little consequence whether the center of his rainbow-colored circles are in the sun or outside, or whether the convex of the rainbow half circles, or the concave is toward the sun. God has said in his word that as the end draws near, there shall be signs in the sun. His power produces these signs in a way that defeats all the speculations of men as to how they are produced. When men talk of natural law, let it be remembered that nature is but the name for an effect, whose cause is God. Wonderful sun rings. At the date of the phenomenon just described, at the same hours and minutes, a most wonderful sight around the sun was observed in the state of New York. The New York papers gave a description of it, which follows. The picture of it is on page 64, The account of it reads as follows. An unusual and beautiful solar phenomenon was visible in this city for about 2 hours this morning. The sun appeared to be surrounded by several rings of different shapes and centers. Two rings, with the sun nearly in their centers, appeared and intersected each other at two opposite points. The inner circumferences of the rings within the points of intersection were dark, but beyond the points of intersection they were luminous. Several other circles and arcs of circles appeared, with the sun either in their circumference or near one side. Under the sun was the appearance of an inverted rainbow. The phenomenon was exceedingly curious and interesting, and needs the description of a scientific observer to give a proper and adequate delineation of it. We trust that someone competent to do so will submit to the public such a description. The appearance is very unusual in this latitude. One of the same character was seen at Jackson, Tennessee, January 1, 1824. The Millerites, we understand, regard the phenomenon as a sign of the end of all things. And why not? The Lord has said that when the great day of the Lord is drawing near, He will show wonders in the heavens and signs in the sun. Faith in God leads His people to say, these are things the Lord said would come, and here they are, fulfilling His word. Surely the great day of the Lord is nearing. Other wonderful sun rings. Your attention is next called to a wonderful appearance of the sun, as witnessed at Danville, Kentucky, January 1, 1843. The same appeared again at the same place on February 3 of the same year. The first appearance, as given in the Danville Mercury of January 4, 1843, is described as follows. The citizens of this village were much astonished at the first instance at the appearance of one of those singular and unusual exhibitions termed parhelia. It was about 2 p.m. that we first observed the singular phenomenon. At this time, the heavens presented the following appearance. Around the sun there was a circle of light, such as is frequently seen around both it and the moon. The diameter of this appeared to be about 45 degrees. Outside of this, there was another circle, or rather segment of a circle, for it was not complete, seeming likewise to have the sun for its center, and whose diameter was about twice that of the former, and only the upper portion, perhaps the half, was visible, extending around the whole horizon. And apparently equally distant from it in every part, was a third circle, cutting the former at right angles, and passing through the sun. At the points of intersection between this and the inner circle surrounding the sun were two colored images, very distinct, which might have been, and were for an instant, mistaken for the sun by persons who were in such a situation that they could not see the sun itself. In this same horizontal circle were other less brilliant and white images on each side of the former, and apparently at equal distances from them, and also, of course, from the sun. These two last images were each perhaps about 100 degrees from the sun. There was also a fourth segment of a circle, presenting the appearance and brilliant colors of the rainbow. About one-third of the circle could be seen. It was high above the horizon, and seemed to have a point in or near the zenith at its center. If completed, its diameter would have been perhaps 45 degrees. It was, of course, convex toward the sun, and just touched the outer circle surrounding the sun. The colors of the rainbow were exceedingly distinct, the red being next to the sun, and the others in order. At about 2:15, the appearance was the most brilliant, the four images and the four circles being then all visible. From this time it began to fade away, the circle and images disappearing one at a time, until about 3 p.m., when nothing unusual could be seen. The postmaster of Danville, in a letter dated February 3, 1843, said, "One of these astonishing and singular phenomena appeared here this morning at 10 o'clock. The sky was clear. It was precisely the same as appeared on the 1st of January, a description of which will be published in tomorrow's paper." The Danville Clarion of the next day, contained the following concerning the sight seen on February 3. Yesterday morning, about 10 o'clock, we were summoned to the street to view the reappearance of the beautiful and strange phenomenon in the heavens called parhelion. The sky was unusually clear, and the appearance differed from that witnessed by our citizens on the first day of the last month, a description of which we gave only in the increased brightness of the four luminous spots then mentioned as having the appearance of the sun, partly obscured by clouds. This lasted, as did the other, about 1 hour. Rainbow circles on the sun. In the Illustrated London News of March 22, 1845, was a cut illustrating the appearance of the sun on March 9, 1845, and a description of the same, written by Theodore F. Ellis, of Cambridge, England, who viewed it through his telescope. He says, "I write to inform you of a most extraordinary phenomenon which has today been observed at Cambridge, and I do so because, although the event is one which must interest the scientific world to a very high degree, yet the results of the minute observations made by the Plumian professor will not be completed for some days, and I thought meanwhile the results of my observation might not be unacceptable. The morning was beautifully fine, and the sky cloudless, if we except a few cirro cumuli in the south of southeast, which appears like thin pieces of white gauze floating in the sky, scarcely a breath of air stirring. About 10:25, my attention was drawn to the sun, which, though apparently unclouded, seemed to shine with less than usual luster, and its rays appeared slightly tinged with green. I immediately put on the dark glass of my achromatic telescope, and with a power of about 40, directed the instrument to the sun's center. I here saw distinctly a small dark spot, surrounded successively by violet, blue, green, yellow, orange, and red rings, separated by comparatively dark rings, and beyond the exterior red ring, the same recurred in the same order. But the colors then were much more faint, and at last hardly visible. This appearance increased in intensity until 11:05, after which the colors began to fade, and exactly at 12, all traces of color disappeared. However, I continued my observations, and soon found that the phenomenon had not concluded, for the colors now began to return in a reversed order. At the sun's center was now a spot of purely white light, and each color was replaced by its complementary one. And most astonishing to relate, this appearance of the sun's disk increased in intensity of color until 11:05, and then began to fade, vanishing completely at 2:35, after which everything resumed its ordinary appearance, and nothing more could be discerned unusual throughout the day. Rainbow Rings, Extra Suns. The following account was published in the Methodist Protestant of Baltimore, Maryland, and the Baltimore American in 1864, and is from a correspondent at Pleasant Hill, Maryland, and dated February 6, 1864. A curious and beautiful phenomenon of the heavens was witnessed today, which for its remarkable and unaccountable appearance should be publicly noted. At or about 11:30 this morning, one of my brothers, coming up the avenue from the city, observed that the sun gave a very peculiar light. Looking up, he saw the wonderful appearance of three suns in the sky, at the same time surrounded by a halo. He immediately came into the house and acquainted the rest of the family and myself with the fact. The true sun was near the meridian, and the two perihelia, or mock suns, were very bright and distinct, one on the east and the other on the west of the true sun, and intersected by a halo surrounding the sun, with a white circle parallel to the horizon and passing through the true sun. The mock suns were, as well as the halo, colored like a rainbow and whitish toward the sun. Each mock sun had a streak or tail of light diverging from it in opposition to the true sun. This strange appearance continued for about half an hour after we first saw it. This extraordinary phenomenon was witnessed by some of our neighbors also, and was the most remarkable spectacle I ever witnessed. A sight witnessed at Ocotlan, Mexico. The following account of a sight seen at Ocotlan, Mexico, October 27, 1847, is taken from a paper called Girdle of Truth, Extra, Volume 1, Number 6, New York, January 20, 1848. B. Matthias, editor, E. Curtis, publisher. It is a portion of an account of the scene, as given in the official report of the alcalde, mayor, of the city of Ocotlan, to the governor of the state, Jalisco, Mexico. He says, Mexican papers of October 27 report that after the earthquake at Ocotlan, at 12 o'clock in the day, there was seen in the sky between the west and the north a very perfect image of the crucified Savior, which lasted half an hour, during which time more than 2,000 persons who were in the marketplace prostrated themselves, performing acts of contrition and calling on the Lord with shouts for mercy. An Evening Sun and Seven Stars. In a pamphlet written by Leonhard Heinrich Kelber, the learned schoolmaster of Stuttgart, Germany, published in the year 1824, we read of a wonderful sight seen in Valencia, Spain, and at other points in the year 1816. He says, in Valencia, Spain, and several other places, there was seen in a clear sky, on October 16, 1816, 2 hours after sunset, for over half an hour, in the western mid-heavens, a bright sun surrounded by seven stars, which lighted up the whole city as light as day. When the scene ended, it was by the stars passing one by one into the body of the sun, and then the sun vanished from sight. The illustration found on page 73, with description I obtained at Katy, Ireland, in the month of May, 1900. It is taken from Lloyd's Cyclopedic Dictionary. This phenomenon was seen in the heavens, in a clear sky, in County Down, Ireland, in the month of August, in the year 1858. The day of the month was not given. The record stated that the scene, as shown in the illustration, began at 2:20 p.m., and continued for half an hour. There were four extra suns, two on either side of the real sun, and a few yards from it. These were on a line, horizontal with the real sun. Rainbow-colored circles passed through the extra suns on either side. Over the outer circle was an inverted rainbow, and under the circles, to the right and left, were quarter sections of a circle, all in bright rainbow colors. The cut in the dictionary was the same as this one, save that it was not colored, but the statement was made that all the circles were of rainbow hues. Sun Wonder, Washington State, 1899. We give below an account of a sight seen at Walla Walla, Washington State, June 6, 1899, and published in the Walla Walla Centennial of June 7. Walla Walla, Washington, June 7. Between the hours of 10:30 and 11:30 o'clock yesterday, a peculiar phenomenon in the heavens attracted the attention of the people here. The more noticeable element was a highly tinted rainbow-like streak, stretching high above the mountains to the south. It was much broader and more brilliant than an ordinary rainbow, and seemed to be straight across the sky. Casting the eye upward, one could behold a beautiful halo encircling the sun, a halo of dazzling tint, and its colors as distinct as those of a rainbow. A background of cirrus clouds softened the strong light of the sun's rays and made it possible to look in its direction. Intersecting this halo was a paler one, of like size, lying toward the north. The phenomenon, in its entirety, was a most beautiful spectacle, and produced a marked effect upon its beholders. It faded away as gradually and calmly as it appeared. F. Newman, weather observer, said that the halo was a double one, the only one he had ever seen or heard tell of. Sun Wonders in California. On March 1, 1908, wonderful sights were seen in connection with the sun. For the most part of the afternoon, in Napa, Sonoma, and Mendocino counties, rainbow rings and rainbow-colored streaks of varying shapes were seen. These seemed to take a new form about every 15 or 20 minutes. A view taken by an artist in Napa County about 4 p.m. of that day shows the appearance of the sun at that hour. It will be observed that in these sun wonders, to which we are calling attention, every one seems to take on a different form. Sky phenomenon in Sweden. In Lloyd's Weekly News of February 28, 1909, we read, "A phenomenon of the sky, which in olden days was thought of evil omen, was seen the other day in Stockholm. A sphere of the same size as the sun appeared in the heavens to the west of the real sun, and shone with all the colors of the rainbow." South African phenomena, May 12, 1909. In the Natal Witness of May 12, 1909, we read of a singular sight in the Transvaal section of Africa, in the vicinity of Durban. Towards evening, a concave cloud of a very singular appearance, shaped like a tam o'shanter, and of a dull yellow color, hung over the Devil's Peak, and the lightnings once more began to play. The sun effects were extraordinarily brilliant, the colors ranging from deep gold to pink and crimson. Another remarkable feature of the evening was the appearance, apparently over the Cape Flat, of a perpendicular pillar with bright rainbow hues, which gradually faded as darkness fell. A Great Battle in the Sky, by Henry Schultz. In the month of September, in the year 1870, I do not remember the exact day of the month, but it was in the dark of the moon. I was visiting with my uncle in northwestern Illinois, in the locality then known as Greenvale, now Stockton Post Office. One evening my uncle and I were up until nearly midnight, and before retiring went out of doors and noticed a great red light lighting up all things lighter than a bright moonlight. The sky was perfectly clear, and as we looked into the heavens to see what caused this great light, we saw a large bright circle of golden red, with streaks of red from the edge of it all around. The outer circle seemed to be moving upward, and finally the object we were viewing assumed the form of a beautiful crown, apparently as large as a good-sized washtub. From the body of the crown there went up sharp prongs about 18 inches in length. All was vivid red. There were no jewels on this crown, but all was of one color. This view lasted about 10 minutes after we first saw it. I do not know how long it may have been in the heavens before we noticed it. It opened up as it appeared and disappeared from view, leaving all in dense darkness for a moment. Then it was immediately replaced by a streak of red light about 4 feet wide, extending over the entire heavens from east to west, with prongs out on the lower or south side of the band. These prongs were about 2 feet long, all pointing to the southwest. The prongs were also of deep red. The band then looked like a timber saw, as all of these sharp points were pointed one way. While we were looking wonderingly upon this, there arose from the north, as far up as the sun would be, when 2 hours high, a perfect army composed of thousands of men, fully equipped, arm-shouldered, and then from the south, another army just like the first arose. Both of these armies were clad in deep red and marched toward one another. When they reached the red band, and that extended, as I said, from east to west, they leveled their guns, and both sides fired at once. We heard no report, but saw the blast of the fire from the guns, and the smoke rolling upward. Then, all at once, they seized their guns by the barrels, and with the breech of the guns began beating one another, using their guns as clubs. I was in the Civil War, 1861 to 1865, and saw skirmishes where this very mode of warfare was resorted to. But this scene in the heavens was the most awful battle one could ever want to witness. It was immensely greater than anything I ever witnessed in the war. In this sky battle, the clubbing went on until there was not a person left standing. All were killed and prostrate on the ground. We heard no noise, as before stated, but saw the thick smoke and confusion of the battle. The battle being thus over, the whole scene again disappeared, but only for a short time, when there arose from the east a bright flaming red light extending from east to west across the whole heavens. This band of light was about 1 rod wide and went from the east to the western horizon over the zenith of the heavens. This wave of light lasted about 5 minutes, revealing a terrible scene of dead bodies and broken guns covering the whole earth as far as the eye could extend. This whole scene, with its varied changes, lasted from 30 to 45 minutes. When I was in Missouri some years later hunting land, I met a man to whom in the course of our conversation I quoted from Scripture the text about there being signs in the heavens, when he at once described to me the very scene which I have here related, he having also seen it in Missouri at the same time I saw it in Illinois. Oakland, California, June 13, 1901. In the footnote it says, since receiving this description as related by Pastor Schultz, I have met parties who witnessed the same scene at the same time in Ohio, in Wisconsin, in Iowa, and those who saw the same in the same year in Sweden. The above phenomenon in the heavens seems at least to be strikingly significant of the last great battle described by the prophet Jeremiah, where he says, "Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground." Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 32 and 33.